Hi.
This is Take Charge Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye.
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back, welcome back. We have quite a unique show today. An area, although it is at the base of health, we've never approached it before. We've never shared information on this. It's very complex. So what we're going to do is, as Einstein said, he said, you never know a subject till you teach it to a group of 10-year-olds. Then you know you understand your subject. We're going to ask our speaker to help explain to a group of 10-year-olds, that's us, I include myself in that group, this very complex but essential information that we need that lies at the base of our health. So, Carol, could you introduce our speaker and the topic, please?
This is very interesting. It's just by chance I got to speak to Rob Workman, and it was through a mutual friend who's been studying this very thing about how energies affect our living spaces. So he introduced me to Rob Workman, who is a certified building biologist.
What?
He's been involved in healthcare in one fashion or another, researching issues of health for many, many years. But he tells me he became sick himself with a problem with sick buildings. So, Rob, welcome to our show. And we do have to start at ground one here. What in the world is a building biologist, and why do we need one?
Well, that's a very good question, especially since no scientist, no engineer, no electrician understands this subject. And we're the only people in the world that really understand that these wires, our body, everything electromagnetic puts out a field. So building biology actually was founded in the 1970s by a German architect. And what he found at the post-war, after these new buildings were being built, that people started getting sick due to the synthetic chemicals, the VOCs, off-gassing from these new buildings. Mm-hmm. And people were in tune. Your body becomes in tune to the building around you through electrical wiring. And then if you have any toxins in that house, your body will sometimes build like a barrel effect continuation with those toxins. And then it slows the rhythm, the vortex that your body creates to keep in rhythm and harmony with the surroundings. And he didn't get a lot of traction in Germany. So he brought the Building Biology Institute to the United States and in Florida in the 1980s. So the mold issues, VOCs, off-gassing, and electrical wiring was pretty much the focus front on what building biologists would focus on. And due to tens of thousands of surveys, we found that if we could reduce VOCs, make the house healthier, electrical wiring concerns, that the client or patient would start to respond to the health of maybe the protocol the doctor's putting them on, or just
so Rob, just a second. What is a VOC?
Off-gassing from fluorine chemicals from any part of the house is basically what VOCs are.
From the construction materials.
Construction materials.
Okay.
Then we do ermine tests for mold to find out if there's any issue with that might be interfering with the problem, which a lot of times, about 90% of the time, when someone's got a severe health element like Lyme disease, even MS, the core problem of that illness and disease is mold. But they have a heavy metal problem that goes along with it, which actually makes that recovery a lot harder to have the end result being good. But now, as building biologists, we have a lot more to be concerned about. So about 1996, when the telecommunication industry passed a law stating that the Telecommunication Act of 1996 basically gave the telecommunication industry free rein to allow any frequency in the environment without any safety testing that's to be done, and then therefore there's no repercussions on the telecommunication industry, and you can't go to your city council and say, hey, these are causing health problems. I have a doctor that will confirm that. We need to reduce exposure. And that's no longer allowed to be used in the city council meetings. You can't even bring that up as a reason to keep that cell tower or small cell from going in. So what's happening here is our body is a vibrating electrical machine. It puts out a field, 6 to 12 feet, depends on the individual. There's actually equipment you can use to see this field that vibrates, actually has a fire that travels along your body that looks like a full-blown flame. And when you have these alternating current frequencies that are produced by man-made frequencies that do not actually belong on this planet Earth, all non-ionized radiation comes out of cell phone towers, Wi-Fi, Roku, any wireless device, including your copy machine. These are pulse frequencies, and we are analog beings. We're not digital beings. And so what our body has...
So explain what analog and digital. We're a little ignorant with physics.
Well, so that's a little bit of a rabbit hole, but the digital, okay. The frequencies, when I test the frequency, they pulse, and you hear a pop, 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 pop.
Okay.
And in this frequency, like, for example, our cell phone towers work on many different frequencies, actually, but we'll use a 2.4 gigahertz frequency, which is the same frequency Wi-Fi uses, same frequency your microwave uses,
okay.
Same frequency your AirPod uses in your ears. It vibrates at 2.4 billion times a second.
Okay.
So when that frequency hits you, it's hitting you at 2.4 billion times a second. And the higher the frequency is, typically the more biologically active that it can be. So cell phone towers use between 500 and 2,500 megahertz frequencies, or 2.5 gigahertz, or 500 megahertz is a lower band. You get higher frequencies. In our body, this so happened, our brain, and there's a lot of science that proves this now. And I've been a member of a private organization that we talked about this even 15, 20 years ago. Our brain is a transmitter receiver of frequency. So our body is always communicating with our outside surroundings in these 500 to 2,500 megahertz frequencies. So when you get intertwined with this melting pot of this ubiquitous frequency that you can't see or most people can't feel, it now puts your body in ill harmony. It doesn't have the proper rhythm to it. So therefore, then, if it affects your liver, it puts your liver out of frequency and causes ill health and then, of course, illness and disease.
So you mentioned that you can measure the field for a person. Can you actually look at that and see if it's operating in an abnormal fashion for the field? And can you do remediation things and see that the field is reestablished or whatever? Is that a diagnostic tool that could be in use right now? Because you just mentioned all these chronic diseases, but I don't think it's in any physician's grab bag that they would look into this yet you just told me it was measurable. So should this be a part of a workup for a chronically ill person?
That's a very good question.
That's a great way to deliver it. And doctors today, I get phone calls on a weekly basis now. I do no advertising. I get phone calls now on a weekly basis, and I get a phone call say, "Hi, I'm with Dr. Twyman's office." He's got one from Clayton, Missouri, Dr. Twyman, and he said, we went down to the EMF rabbit hole. We're getting some more information about it. Do you do house calls? And that's usually how it starts out. So there are a few doctors that are getting it a little bit, but no, it's not taught in any sort of medical school. This is something that Bill in biology has been talking about since the 70s, of course, but these fields, they can be measured, that come off the wiring and also the cell phone towers. We have equipment that can do that. This, for example, I have a Safe Sound Pro here, which is building biology approved, and it's also very, very user friendly. We can just turn the meter on, and I now have a diagnostic of what type of frequencies are coming from and where they're coming from, and also
is that the meter?
That's the meter.
Okay,
this is one meter of many that we do carry as building biologists. So this is these are pulse frequencies that come from the cell towers and your devices. The electrical field is another whole gamut, which is the electrical grid. And then the first thing we do is the building biology. We go into the home and we look at the foundation of the house first. Before we get to any of the wireless stuff, we look at the foundation. We go through the ground, we call it ground needle electrode, that actually grounds the house from lightning strikes. Usually it's right outside the meter, or it could be the bond wire could be attached to the actual water pipe. And that creates a huge booby trap of what we call ground loops. And what happens is our house is usually shared by seven other houses. They use the same transformer. Sometimes it's five, sometimes it's 15 houses on one transformer. We have a primary and a secondary side of a transformer. We're on the secondary side, which is what all the houses are attached to. Anything metal that comes into the house, this will be called current or objectional current, rides on these pipes that get into the home and then travel all throughout your wires and will be what we call the higher kilohertz range. Most dirty electricity or magnetic electric pollution rides on these wires. And again, your wiring cable, but your typical wiring here, it's just covered by, rubber here. It's just, there's no protection like you see MC cable. MC cable will block most or some of these fields. So your wiring puts out a field from your walls about 6 feet, sometimes 12.
So we have fields that come off the wiring 6 to 12 feet that no one knows about. No one understands that we have power lines that we've wrapped around a house. So in building biology, we call typical housing, we call it a box that's on life support. Because unless you heat it and you cool it, you can't live in that house typically, unless you're in a real temperate climate. So then we also wrap power lines in our house with no protection. And really think about it from a physics standpoint, from a quantum physics standpoint, that makes absolutely zero sense to do that. So in these fields that's pulsing 60 times a second, hitting your body from the AC current that's in the electrical wiring, just like power lines outside your house, these are power lines around your house that's right next to your body. Now, it's a lower voltage, which is not as bad as the power lines that are outside, but it's still a voltage.
No.
So what happens here is we get all this dirty electricity, or we call magnetic electric pollution, that's getting into the grid that's created from what we call switch mode power supplies. Switch mode power supplies are in your smart meters, anytime, or your computers, anytime you plug anything into the wall. Typically, everything has a what we call a switch mode power supply. You go from AC to DC current. Anytime you go from AC to DC current, you chop that wave up, and then you go to lower voltages, 3, 10, 15 volts, where a lot of these appliances or your smart meter or your computers will work on. It now injects kilohertz. That means 1 kilohertz is 1,000 times a second that's riding on that 60 hertz sine wave signal from the wiring, and we're in these houses with all these different types of dirt electricity or magnetic electrical pollution. Now it's hitting our body, and then therefore it's, what it does, it doesn't cause any specific illness or disease. It attacks the immune system.
So what it does is really, what it does is it really just causes dysregulation, very specifically in the immune system. See, what I want to bring back and bring back to the audience is the fact that we really are electrically charged beings. When we look at our heart, how does our heart beat? It's beating through an electric charge sent from the brain. And when we need help or when they attempt to intercede, they put a pulse or a pulse maker in there, and which is measuring the electricity. When the electricity varies, it then turns on and turns off. So we have to understand that with all of these fields that we are experiencing in our homes, we're electrical beings. So we are being affected. There is an effect. I think what this comes back to is a term we've all heard, but what we're talking about is the science behind this term, and that's called sick building syndrome, where people are in buildings and you find large numbers of them are getting sicker and sicker. But Rob Workman is saying and trying to explain to us is that effect can be happening in our homes, where the electrical charge is creating electrical charge within our bodies and confusion in terms of our body's way to react. Is that appropriate, Rob?
Carol, I don't think I could have said any better. That's exactly what's going on. It's as an athlete into college and baseball, the pitcher has a rhythm. When he gets in a rhythm or the groove, he's in a groove, and his ball moves faster, and he's throwing strikes. He's not throwing balls everywhere because he's got a certain rhythm to his windup. The batter has the same type of a rhythm. He has a rhythm to his swing. When he's in that rhythm, he gets more contact. What these electromagnetic fields do, these are non-godly. These electrical fields produced by man, by fossil fuels, do not belong on this earth. So when you're interfering with an AC current, we work on DC current, and you're right, the heart is really not a pump, it's a battery. It creates a vortex, it oscillates, it creates all these different vessels, 70,000 miles of vessels. It has to oscillate to keep that blood flowing. And when you start adding all these different man-made fields or electrical pulses in the air that's ubiquitous, and in wiring issues we have in people's homes, and you start feeling sick, well, it's not a matter of fact. You will get sick. It just takes a matter of time when the body starts to wear out.
Now,
goodness.
Exactly. Now, there's something that I've heard of, and how does this fit in this picture? It's called grounding. And Dr. Steven Sinatra.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Does that release and does that help us?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. Yes, absolutely. We're so positively charged in these synthetic homes that we're in between electrical devices, the LEDs, the LED screens, the synthetic floors. Everything's plastic and not made by nature. Anytime you're in a house that's not made by nature, with real woods, real components, clay straw or clay housing, anything that's not made in that type of dynamic, you're adding so much positive ions, your body just needs to decharge. That's why I open the windows up. I tell all my Lyme patients, open your windows up and get out in nature, because it helps that body decharge. That's why just grabbing the best way to decharge is actually hug a tree. That is the best way. That's what trees do. They take that electrical current that was really designed by God to take the electrical storms and take that the lightning electrical charge in the air, and the trees will take that electrical charge to the ground to get it away from the human body. That way we can handle some non-ionized nature-made radiation. But now we have non-ionized man-made radiation, and we pulse it, and it's an AC current versus DC current, and it's not by chance why we're having so much illness and disease and without any sort of a solution.
I'm sort of getting overwhelmed, but I did read, and I believe this is Dr. Mercola. He said he doesn't recommend grounding on the earth anymore, walking barefoot in the grass, because he says the earth has gotten all this energy dumped into it. It's no longer so safe.
Yeah, well, we've talked about that many times, and you're absolutely correct. The best place to ground yourself is the beach. You know, you have salt water, you have sand, but at the same time, you have to do the best you can do. If you're in
exactly.
a city someplace, it's really going to be difficult to have any sort of a grounding possibility. So we actually don't like grounding masks that much, because the current that's on your grounding electrodes, it's coming in from the grid and coming from your house. And if you're attached in apartments or condos, those duplexes like that, you're sharing all of that electrical garbage, that sewage from your neighbor's house and the grid, and it's traveling on your different electrodes, ground electrodes, the neutral, the hot of your wiring, and then you plug in your grounding tool in your outlet, okay, and then you lay on this mat. For some people, they get very sick. And there's good reasons for that. So you're right. We are in a little bit of a Pandora's box. You pretty much have to experiment. We have to be our own scientists. If you look at the definition of a scientist in the Oxford Dictionary, it says someone who is well-informed. Doesn't say you have to have a PhD. Doesn't say you have to go to any university. It says someone is well-informed. So as consumers today, we have to be well-informed, do our own research on ourselves, and sometimes you have to do some trial and errors. And this is how I feel. So that's a good question. It's something that we talk about all the time, but we don't have the perfect answer about that yet.
Now,
okay.
There's lots of talk about 5G and how 5G is toxifying us and the dangers of 5G. And so I'm going to ask you a two-part question. One, what is 5G, number one? And the second part is it as dangerous to us as they're saying? Well, then there's a third part of this question. What can we do about it? This is Take Charge of Your Health. We live here. We're going to live here. Many of us in the city, a lot of us in the suburbs. Where can we go? I know someone who started a vitamin company, a brilliant man, who went and spent 10 years living in a cabin in the forest with no electricity to be able to come up with his theories and create what he needed to, because he was so severely allergic. But most of us don't have that option. So what is 5G? Is it as dangerous as they say it is? And then what can we do about this?
Well, there's good news. There are things we can do. And the gentleman who did go out into the woods with no electricity, that's the single best way to get better, fastest. He's exactly right. He got out of nature, got away from all man-made elements. So the next part of the question, 5G. Well, just so you know, 5G just means fifth generation. There's a 1G. They had about 20 frequencies they added to the environment. 2G added another 20 different frequencies to the environment. And then 3G added another 20 frequencies to the environment. And then 4G added about another 20 more frequencies to the environment. When they released the 5G or millimeter waves, they added 3,000 new different frequencies that are pulsed at a much higher frequency rate than the 1G, 2G, 3G, and 4Gs. So yes, is it more biologically active? Without any question at all, it's more biologically active. But what is 5G? 5G actually still is 1G, 2G, 3G, and 4G. That's what people don't understand. It's 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, and 5G densification closer to the house. So where it used to be we were 3 to 5 miles away from the average cell phone tower, now we have these small cells, sometimes 50 feet from some people's homes. Part of 5G is your smart meter. So now you have a cell phone tower on your house, on the outside of the house, called a smart meter, and it's pulsing every 30 seconds to a minute, and it's what they call a sawtooth wave. If you're in music, people know what a sawtooth wave is, but this is a sawtooth, really intense frequency that pulses at a different frequency range type than what they call a square wave, which is what Wi-Fi uses. And we can hear them with our meters. So then we've added our devices, these other cell phone towers. So remember, at one time, we're 3 to 5 miles away from any cell phone tower. Now we brought cell phone towers into our house called cell phones, which is interesting. We're made of cells, and they call this cell phone. So it's like they're stealing our language as well. They're stealing our intimate language. We're made of cells, and they call cell phones. Then we also have these smart TVs that are putting out frequencies. They're talking to the smart meters. Then you got all these smart, anything smart is talking to the Internet of Things. So it's really made this so interesting. I'm not so worried about the cell phone towers. I'm not even worried about the 5G. I'm worried about what people brought into the house. The house is the most dangerous place to be on the planet right now. Because you have all these cell towers in the house putting out millions of microwatts with the radiation. And safety level is 6 microwatts of radiation. And that's not even safe. That's what we call safer or safe to live with. But we brought all these pulse frequencies into the home, cell towers, your cell phones, smart TVs, computers, and that's a cell phone tower because it's trying to find the signal. So what we can do is, first of all, stop going in the wrong direction so fast. That's the first thing we can do with all this stuff. Hardwire all your devices, and it can be done. We can show you how to do it. We can get electricians in there, low voltage people in there. We can show you how to turn off your Wi-Fi off your computer. You and hardwire it. Hardwire your cell phone so you never have to use a wireless device in your house, except for maybe some lesser occasions. There are some things you can't do with a wired cell phone that you can do when it's obviously connected to the cell phone towers. But you can check emails. You can a lot of times you can text through a hardwire and don't have anything wireless in the house. So hardwiring, we have to learn how to use your cell phone properly, because the cell phone, which is a cell phone tower, it puts out more radiation. I've measured every cell phone tower in St. Louis, Missouri. I've measured all of them. The highest reading I've ever got from a cell phone tower ever was about 500,000 microwatts per meter square radiation. We use these numbers as a way to discern the intensity of these different devices. What's happened in the past 2 years, and I don't think this is coincidental, this is done on purpose, they've increased the intensity from these cell phones into the millions of microwatts per meter squared pulse frequencies. So it is unbelievable what comes off these different devices, and no one knows about this. And the device that crippled me, and it really did cripple me, was the iPad. The iPad it destroyed my body. I had no idea what was going on. I did not know that it was putting out millions of microwatts of radiation. And I was on the iPad for 3 to 5 years, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours a day. I was airdropping pictures. I'm in the construction industry. We use our iPad for presentations. We thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. We thought, oh my God, this is an amazing device. Less expensive. We don't have to develop pictures anymore. We can just have on this one device, and everybody has their tool. Well, I did not know that was a cell phone tower. As smart as I was, and as much research as I'd done, I did not understand that when I airdrop a picture, and I'm airdropping hundreds of thousands of microwatts of radiation, your body's absorbing all this radiation. You're not grounded. So where is it going to go? It's going to turn into parasites. It's going to turn into mold, fungus, and organ failure. That's what's going to happen. And it's already been happening. And the parasites come into the body because the body needs something to compensate for all the poison. The parasites need to come inside there to kind of help the body to absorb the poisons, but usually over time the parasites take over the body, it lowers the immune system, and they actually feed. We know for a fact now these parasites are not aggravated by microwave radiation. they don't even need any food. They can live just on radiation. There's a parasite called the ropeworm, and we know for sure that one feeds on radiation. That's all it feeds on. Doesn't need any food, doesn't have any internal organs. It's like a big snake that has no internal organs, and it just spreads out in the human body and absorbs radiation. And that's pretty unbelievable. I went and talked to Dr. Robert Kassar, a parasitologist in Hilo, Hawaii, and did a 3-week fast with him, and he taught me all about this stuff. And I started doing my own research on it. I work with Dr. Simon Yu here in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, he specializes in parasites. I know him well.
He's treated me, and when I got so sick from this stuff, yeah, I mean, I couldn't even put into words after I got on a parasite medication. Here it is. I'm perfect health. I was in health and fitness field all my life, ate perfect, all organic, pure water, everything perfect in my life, and I got so sick that I was so infested with these things. I lost 40 pounds of muscle in 6 months. I was a bodybuilder, lost almost all my muscle. I literally thought I was going to die. So Dr. Klinghart and Dr. Simon, you are friends, but Dr. Klinghart understood radiation. He understood how this is affecting the human body. And he said, the first thing you need to do is hire a building biologist to survey your house. Mm-hmm. I never heard of building biology. So I called around, and I got a hold of a guy by the name of Orem Miller. Orem Miller, his website is createhealthyhomes.com in San Diego, California area. In that area, you might be north of it a little bit. I got a hold of him, and I said, I'll pay you $4,000 if you come to my house and survey my house. I'm sick. I have the money to do it, but I gotta get healthy quick, because if not, I'm gonna lose my job. He's like, Rob, I feel you. I understand, because I can't fly to St. Louis, Missouri from California. I'm too busy here, but I'll work with you over the phone. So I bought all the equipment. I kind of taught myself, watched YouTube stations as much as I could with the different websites, and watched how they did different surveys, and educated myself. And I got my house set up to where pretty much the end of the day, I just turned my breakers off every night when I went to bed. I slept like I was camping for about a year, and I started getting a little bit better. And then I saw Klinghart in Seattle, and they put me on a protocol. And that's when my life completely changed after that. So Dr. Simon, you and I now work together as a team. And I work with some patients that are electrically sensitive, and he has a way to test for it now. He can test if they're electrically sensitive or not. And so that's kind of how I got into this whole thing. I know this kind of talked in circles here a little bit, but this is all tied together, your health, the parasites, the fungus, the Lyme disease, the MS, the lupus, the confusion, the neurological problems. It starts at the foundation, which is your immune system. And what these microwave radiations do, they don't have any discrimination. It attacks everybody's immune system. And the number one thing I found that it does do, it makes people gain weight.
And that's really
a little bit of an eye.
And we have an obesity epidemic going on.
Well, that's exactly what it does. And I have a great book I'd recommend for everybody to read is The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg.
Yeah, I have.
Arthur Furstenberg is a 20-year scientist. Well, he's been a scientist for over 3 decades, I believe. But it took me 20 years to write this book about the history of electricity. And we did not have any diabetes. We did not have any ADHD or almost any cancer until the electrical grid went in. We first put in 1880 area. We started doing the electrical grid. Even before then, we had the telegraph wires. That's when an illness called I can't pronounce the word, but it's in the Visible Rain book, but it's basically ADHD. People didn't have that illness until the first telegraph wire was put in. And that makes total sense, because the earth has a frequency to it, 7.83 hertz. Our brain has a frequency of 7.83 hertz. So our brain, our neurological component of the brain is connected to the earth. And we're all connected quantumly to the earth. And then, of course, you have the sun, which does heat and cool the earth. It's connected quantumly through these electrical portals, electromagnetic fields, almost like hoses that travel from these hot spots, these round spots on the sun, to the earth. and it's what electrically charges the earth, and that's why a lot of times people will sometimes have different types of depression or illnesses, especially when the earth's going, or the sun's going through different cycles.
Now,
it's electromagnetic.
Uh-huh. Now, many of us have microwave machines in our homes. How does that affect us, or does it?
You're talking about microwave
oven?
For cooking ovens.
Food?
Yes.
Yes. Well, the microwave that cooks food, now there's thermal microwave, but the microwave oven you have in your house, yes, that cooks food, because it oscillates 2.4 gigahertz, just so you know, uses 2.4 gigahertz, oscillates the water molecules in the food, which heats it up. So, yes, if you put the food in the microwave too long, it's going to oscillate, kill all the food, minerals, and nutrition in the food as well. And if you put it in too long, it will actually dehydrate or get dehydrated. And you know, we've seen what food does when you cook it too long. It shrinks. Well, we are made of 70-80% water. So we have the same frequency, which attenuates with the water molecule. And we're around 2.4 gigahertz, so therefore it's actually squashing and squeezing and destroying the blood. If you look at the blood under a dark field microscope, after you expose it to 2.4 gigahertz, it destroys it. It looks like putty. And there's a great scientist in California. Her name is Lena Pugh, and she has a Patreon group. She did the scientific studies, Wi-Fi, in school. She did the studies on it, and she was so appalled and so shocked by it, she started getting more. She started being a big advocate for talking against Wi-Fi in schools, as of I believe about 5 or 6 years ago. But so she actually has some noticeable liabilities and different types of letters to write to your city officials to try to get them to stop through a common law, not through a dead entity, because your city council offices, these are corporations. They're set up as a corporation. And she is not using a regular attorney. She's going to go through a common law. They talk about that in the King James Bible. A common law approach to not get involved in a contract with their dead entity, but get in a contract with them individually. So,
well, that's another rabbit hole. Maybe we should save that for another time.
Exactly.
I was wondering, Rob, as you were talking about millimeter waves, that's what we are told they're using in the airport scanners.
So well, that's right. That's
what actually does that mean?
Okay, so they're using either 26 or 28, I think it's 26 gigahertz. So again, that's 26 billion times a second that frequency is hitting your body, just so they can see if you have any sort of a firearm or weapon on your body. But that's basically what it is. You're just being radiated at, you know, intervals of 26 billion times a second while you're in that scanner. So each time you do that, you're going to activate possibilities for cancer to show up, you know, sometimes 15 to 30 years down the road just by activating those cancer cells every time you're being radiated by these scanners. So that is in the non-ionized microwave radiation spectrum. Some people say, well, there's not enough power in non-ionized radiation to knock the electron off the cell. But I would ask them one simple question. I said, well, then how does non-ionized radiation cut through steel? Because it can. It can cut through steel with non-ionized. All you got to do is change the frequency, and it will cut through steel.
Okay.
So it does have power to knock the electron off the cell through different mechanisms. But it also has a voltage-gated calcium channel activation that confuses the membrane around the cell, what I call the gatekeepers around the cell. It confuses the cell because it doesn't really understand this non-ionized radiation. So what it does, it actually makes the calcium or that cell stay open in the voltage-gated calcium channel areas, which then it floods that cell with too much calcium, and then you have DNA strand breaks, and you have mitochondrial mutations. We know that's happening. And also, there's one of those goes to the brain, one goes to the heart, one goes to the testes. So as we know, we have low testosterone dropping at a record rate, and we have neurological problems at a record rate, and we're having a lot of people, a lot of heart monitors now more than ever. I've seen more and more people wearing heart monitors now. And it has, I'm sure it has a lot to do with the electromagnetic.
There's an explosion in atrial fibrillation going on. That's just alteration of the normal heartbeat.
That's right. Well, it's a battery. It has a frequency. It has a rhythm to it. These non-ionized radiation frequencies have been around since the 1930s. It was used by the Germans in a weapon called Monarch. And it was a 5G weapon. They would beam it at the enemy to burn their eyes out. So the military had been using these millimeter wave frequencies since the 30s. And what they liked about these non-ionized weapon systems is the enemy had no idea. They can't feel it. So all you got to do is spray that frequency on whoever you don't like, and you can make them get cancer, miscarriages, make them go psychotic, actually literally turn them into a nutcase just by spraying these different frequencies, non-ionized radiation, on the public or anybody that they don't like. And that's basically what they've been used for really since the 1960s, the U.S. and Russia. They've all been using these on each other. And I have the documents that talk about this stuff since the 50s.
Now,
talk about these radiation.
Now, we live in the city. So what we have are we have people beneath us, beside us, above us, all with microwaves, all with Wi-Fi, all watching these different smart TVs, and we're right in the middle there. What can we do? Is there any way we can protect ourselves other than leave the city? And we really can't. Many of us cannot. So what can we do, or is there anything we can do to protect ourselves, our families, our kids? What we're doing right now is attempting to eat as clean as we can to reduce the toxins coming into ourselves and our families. But is there more we can do to protect ourselves?
Well, yes, a clean diet does a lot because it helps your body detox. That's all the flu is you need a body needs a detox. That's why we have flus in the winters and falls. That's when we go through different stages. Your body will allow that time of the life to detox those toxins out of you. So detoxification, just eliminate all wireless inside your house, and then learn how to use your phone. Get a meter. I recommend everybody get a meter. That way they can hear these frequencies and know when your cell phone might be on, and you don't know it's on. A lot of times the Wi-Fi is on and the Bluetooth is on the cell phone, and they think it's turned off, and it's not. But you won't know unless you have a meter, and you can test these periodically and find, okay, God, my computer Wi-Fi is on. I didn't know my computer Wi-Fi was on. Oh, my God, I turned off my copy machine. I even turned off the Wi-Fi, but it didn't turn off.
Right. I have a battery backup, apparently, on my Wi-Fi.
Like my copy machine, I have it hardwired, and I could not turn off the Wi-Fi. But if I did not have a meter of some sort to detect the RF radiation, I would have never known that. I would have sat there for the last 5 years getting radiated with all this radiation, not even knowing it. So I think, number one, don't get too freaked out, because, like you said, myself included, I mean, this cost me a fortune. I've been in hundreds of thousands of dollars in the past 7 years figuring this stuff out. I can't afford to leave and go to the country and not have any income coming in and live. I can't do it. But I know if I did do it, I for sure would heal up 100% without all these continuing medical bills that I have to spend every month just to maintain my health if I can get away from it. But if you can't, that's okay. You just, first of all, don't freak out. Start with baby steps. Get a landline. I would say the first thing you need to do for your house is get a landline. If it's possible. And then hardwire every device possible in the house get an RF meter because your TVs, while they're on, are usually putting out some sort of a wireless in a 2.4 or 2.5 gigahertz range, trying to talk to different, you know, smart meters and whatever else is going on in your home. These things are so complicated now. You almost need an IT person, a building biologist, electrician, and then you need a computer guy, a TV expert.
Exactly. So frustrating.
Rob, many companies sell these protection devices for your phones, for your computers, or even to put them on you. Are these having an effect at all? Do they offer you some protection?
Yes, they do. As building biologists, we're not a real big fan of them because we don't want people to think they're safe because they have this device they put on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
And when you test these fields, you test the electromagnetic fields or the radiation pulse frequency, it doesn't change any of that. It still reads the same, even though you have these devices on. But what it does do, it seems to help the body deal with these electromagnetic fields easily without your body, you know, absorbing these fields to the point to where you can't even function anymore. So I use shungite, but make sure it's a real shungite. I have it. The only one I found that works is real shungite first. You got to make sure it's real, not a fake shungite. And it goes around my neck. And I don't have the website that I use, but it's like a necklace.
It's a mineral, isn't it? From only one place in the world. Is that Russia or northern China?
Russia, yeah. Russia's where I guess you get. Matter of fact, I think I might. Do I have it here? Oh, I think this might be it. I think I have the name of the manufacturer here. I think it's called. It might be. Yeah, it's KARE. LIAN Heritage, the best of Carolyn Nature, CarolynHeritage.com.
Okay.
So AAREL IAN Heritage. Yeah, so I think that's where I get my shungite from. I just found the cards on my desk, which is right in front of my face. So I would like to recommend a book or two for people to read to get their.
Okay.
More to it. I think it's the easiest book. It's short. It's not real long. You know, for me, I'm not a. I read every night, but I don't like to read a long periods of time. I like to read for 5 to 10 minute increments at a time, then I stop. But it's a really easy read. It's by Dr. Samuel Milham. Samuel Milham. That's M-I-L-H-A-M. Samuel, first name, Milham. And he wrote a book called Dirty Electricity, The Electrification and the Disease of Civilization, second edition. You can find it on Amazon. It's like $9. So he keeps it really cheap. So Samuel Milham was a health in New York. He started in the health department in New York. And in the 60s, he was doing all these epidemiology reports, and he found a connection from schools and ADHD, health problems, cancer, to all these electromagnetic or miswires and wiring problems that schools have, the houses have, and just the grid and problem. The grid's polluted by these solar inverters. We're all trying to be green, but every time it's green, it pollutes the grid, including these windmills. And that's another whole long conversation we have about that stuff. But the windmills, the solar inverters from the solar panels, are just really corrupting the grid. And it's making them so polluted that sometimes a mile down the road, you're being affected by the guy that has solar panels on his house. But again, those can be mitigated and they can be fixed, but it just costs a little bit of money. So because a lot of my clients today don't have any money, I'm used to last resort, they're broke, they're trying to figure out why, you know, they're hundreds of thousands of dollars into medical care. So the easiest way to fix it, turn off your breakers at night, and at nighttime at least, have the opportunity for your body to recuperate. It costs you nothing. So I turn my breakers off at night. I'm in St. Louis, Missouri, so it gets 100 degrees during the summertime, and it gets 0 degrees in the wintertime. So I did it here. You can still do it and function. Maybe in the middle of summer, it's 100 degrees outside. You need the AC on. You turn off all the breakers except for maybe the AC. But that is a way you can do it for very inexpensive and help your body heal just by turning the circuit breakers off at night.
Now I have a question, because I was in one of those big box stores. Actually, I was in Costco, and there were three devices there, and they put out electrical charges that kill mosquitoes. One kills mosquitoes, one kills all the bugs around you over a certain area, another one. All three of them act that way, and you're supposed to take them when you go camping or when you're sitting out on your porch or whatever. And I'm reading these, I'm reading each box, and I didn't buy one. I don't have enough information or enough understanding. Can you explain that to us in about 2 minutes, because we're running out of time? Or can you?
I'm not real familiar with those. They actually are putting out a frequency that's killing the bugs, or do they actually have to touch it?
No. It's just a frequency.
Anywhere around that frequency that these bugs are dying.
Yes.
Or could die from this device.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? It's actually putting out a specific frequency?
Yes. That will kill literally everything. Ticks, moths, mosquitoes, everything in your area, in that area, for 300 feet or 150 feet, depending on which device you're looking at.
That's a good one. I've never researched that. I'll have to talk to Bill Bathgate at www.defiltersllc.com. Bill Bathgate, he's a top building biologist. We test all of our stuff. We do anything that we want to stand behind or whatever, we're gonna test it first. So that's something I haven't tested yet. But I talk really quick for you before we go about the LED lighting.
Oh yes,
the LED lighting. Really quick, is you need to avoid all LED lighting at all costs if possible. It is not, these LED lights on the streets don't have any diffusers in them, and I've tested with a spectrometer. They're actually putting out a 450 nanometer frequency, which is a very toxic frequency to our photoreceptors in our eyes. It will blind you if you stare at them long enough. They will definitely have eye damage. Now, the LEDs inside your house are still putting out a 450 nanometer frequency, which is not healthy. It's in the blue light spectrum. But they have diffusers on them, so they're actually better for you than the LED lights outside the house. So I would recommend buy halogen and all incandescent light bulbs that you can buy. Don't buy anything that's LED if you can avoid it. Again, don't freak out about it, but just do the best you possibly can.
So I really appreciate, let me just finish my statement and then I'll pass it to Carol. I really appreciate the work you're doing and the research you're doing, because you've literally stepped us up at me particularly, into a new world and a desire to have a better understanding for my health and my children's health. So I want to thank you for the work you're doing. Carol?
This is phenomenal.
Yeah, my mind is spinning.
I know. I already wear shungite. So it's nice to hear that validated a little bit. So Rob, this is so wonderful. We'd probably like to have you back again and speak more about things people can do for themselves, because that's basically it. Just like the name of our show, take charge of your health. We have to take charge of our environment to make sure we can keep our health. So it's another big piece of what we're trying to communicate and what gifts we want to bring our listening audience, that we have something we can do for ourselves.
Do you have a website, Rob?
You know what? It's many people ask me that. I don't have a website that I use yet. I haven't set it up yet. I run a construction company. I own a construction company here in St. Louis, Missouri. So that is what pays my bills. I do all the EMF and the building biology surveys or information or speaking. I do it absolutely, you know, besides the survey itself, I do most of this for free, just to get the awareness out there. And I refer pretty much everybody that I can, because what you have to understand, when I go in people's homes, it's very toxic for me. It bothers my health quite a bit, so I can't do very many of them. So I refer all my clients to go to three different websites, either DEFiltersLLC.com, Bill Bathgate's, or I recommend Orem Miller's website in San Diego, California, createhealthyhomes.com. And then one of my favorite mentors of all time is Andrew McAfee. Andrew comes to my house once a month, and Bill Bathgate comes to my house once a month, and they survey clients right here in St. Louis, Missouri. But Andrew McAfee's website is www.homeemftracing.com. That's homeemftracing.com. He is an absolutely brilliant individual. He played for the North Carolina Symphony Orchestra. Got injured so bad from the EMF that he had to sleep in a dungeon he made in his basement for 2 years. And that's a fact. And so that was about 15 years ago, 12 years when that happened. But so now he got better, and now he teaches. He is probably the best in the country. And Bill Bathgate, a 40-year engineer, for him to say that, that's pretty impressive. So those two are probably 1, 2, and 3. Orem Miller is my teacher, of course. He trained me 25 years in San Diego. I mean, all the building biologists I pretty much on their website are amazing. They're all very capable to do some good for anybody's home.
So
they're very, very experienced.
I want to thank you so much. I was watching one of your presentations on YouTube. It's called Robert Workman Building Biologist Presentation, and the audience might want to refer to that to get more information. So this has been Take Charge of Your Health, approaching a brand new subject and a new understanding. I hope we piqued your interest, and you will continue learning about this and the possible risk to your health. So thank you, Robert. Thanks, Carol. And we're going to be back next week. Bye-bye.
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 So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA, CCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is frenarihealth.com, and my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me. Left Hook from Redding, California. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.